You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in the Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 257, as always presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from all the daily blogs to the podcast and everything else in between. Al Mahigian here. Tom Powder Cadmus here. Powder, first of all, hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's another week. It's another Wednesday. So we're recording on Wednesday, January 24th. I feel like January's flown by. You feel that way too?
It definitely has, especially with my life, everything that's happening soon. It seems to be getting faster and faster.
Do we have an update on the Maddie invited to the wedding status?
Just seeing who's RCP's yes and no, and then we'll check back once we get more information on that.
Okay, so basically, Maddie, he's saying in nice words, you might be the best of the rest. We'll see about that, but you might just get the best of the rest invite, but it's okay as long as he's there. No Maddie Burnett tonight, so we have two shout-outs that we're going to give. I didn't say this to Powder before we recorded, but I'm giving two shout-outs tonight. I hope that's okay.
That is perfectly fine.
Okay, good. One shout-out is to Maddie B. He's not with us tonight. He is actually in the hospital with the flu as we're recording this. If you're listening to this, maybe he's out by now. We're hoping that he's out, but it's just a really bad case of the flu. Wasn't feeling good, so he ended up in the ER. So shout-out to Maddie. We miss him. We love him, and we hope that... Obviously, Maddie, if you're listening to this, like we said, we miss you, we love you, and we hope that you do.
Yes, we do. We love you, Maddie.
We do. And we need to make sure that you are on the podcast next week, fully healthy, and ready to give us your interesting takes on the NFL specifically. Again, got to make sure you're healthy to do that. All right. So enough about that. Oh, one more shout out that I want to give. I'm going to give a shout out to a former guest of ours, a multiple time guest, Joe Murray of 985 The Sports Hub. Why, you might ask? So I called into The Sports Hub on, I believe it was Sunday.
I believe you're right.
I think that, yeah, it was Sunday because I was coming home from baseball practice and I called into 95 The Sports Hub, the Joe Show, so to speak, Joe Murray.
Sunday. And, yep.
Sunday. Yeah. So it was Sunday. So I called in. I called in as Al from Dorchester because that's where I'm currently living now. And get on the phone, we start talking, and then he goes, "Oh, Al, that Al." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's me, dude." He's like, "You got to enunciate who you are." And I'm like, "Yeah, all right, whatever." So before I even get to my point, Joe Murray just goes, "You still doing your podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're on episode like 260 something. I forgot the exact number, but I know now it's 257. And he's like, without being even, and I'm not kidding you, without even being tempted to do so, he goes, "Shout out your podcast." And I was like, "Wow, like that's really nice of you, Joe Murray. You're the man." So again, shout out to Joe Murray. We're going to have him on in the future at some point. Shout out to him for letting us shout out the podcast. So as always, Legends Legal Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere else we can get your podcast. No, we're not ending the podcast, but a little beginning of podcast promo never hurts. So we are going to be joined by a special guest. He's going to come on with us in about 15, 20 minutes. So we'll say before, right before he comes on, who it's going to be. So if you want to listen to that part of the episode, you can fast forward to about 20 minutes from now, and you will get to see who we interviewed. And obviously, it'll be on the episode title, so you know who it is. But we're not going to say it until we feel like it. So anyways, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get into it. Excuse me. So let's get into the Patriots first, because it's kind of just become tradition for us.
Yep.
Talk about the Patriots. So the Patriots have had a couple of interviews now for offensive coordinators. Tight ends coach for the Rams, Nick Caley, who, if you remember, was part of the Patriots from 2015 to 2022 in a multitude of roles. Tight end coach, fullback coach, offensive assistant, etc. And Zach Robinson, who was the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator for the Rams as well. So both under the Sean McVay system. He interviewed on Tuesday. So, Powder, I got to ask you. Now, I know you might not be as closely involved in the Patriots coaching search as I am. You might not be following it every single day like I am. But I'm just going to ask you, based on what you know and based on what you've read and what you've kind of seen, who is your ideal choice for the Patriots OC job? Is it Nick Caley or is it Zach Robinson?
from everything I've read and everything like that, I kind of like the Zach Rumson. I like a guy who's worked with quarterbacks. Definitely the Patriots need someone that can open up the offense. Whoever the next quarterback is, whether somehow the Patriots stick with Mac Jones, I don't see that, or they draft who I think they're going to draft someone high with the third overall pick, and just someone who can kind of like a Josh McDaniels, but even different. Like, I want someone who has had work with a quarterback who is a dual threat, who can, like, obviously I don't think we're going to get a Lamar Jackson or someone like that, but I think if it's Jane Daniels or someone like that, they can use their feet to make plays and stuff like that. I want someone who can have a playbook that suits that kind of offense. Yes, obviously, I will love Tom Brady for the rest of my life for everything he did for Patriots fans, but he was a pocket quarterback. He stayed in the pocket, made the passes. We've never, as Patriots fans, have really seen a quarterback who can use his feet to extend plays, make plays with his feet, and also use his arm to make plays. So I want someone who has a playbook like that.
So I'm going to tell you a couple things about this. Number one, I agree with you, Powder, 100%. I want Zach Robinson in here as the ideal candidate. Now, before I continue with that, I will say this. If Nick Caley does end up getting the job, I'm okay with that because obviously they thought high enough about him to have him interview last year before Bill O'Brien got the job. So the Patriots really valued Nick Caley in their organization. Not enough to hire him last year as an OC, but again, I'm going to digress from that a little bit. They have another interview with him, so I would be surprised if Caley doesn't get it this time. But again, I think there's a way that you could have both of them in there. You could have one in as the official offensive coordinator, and the other one can be similar to what Robinson did in the Rams system, to be like a passing game coordinator and, you know, kind of a, like an offensive assistant almost. Because if you get two new guys in there, they're getting away from that old style of Patriots offense. They're going with kind of the new school offense, the way McVay runs his offense. And everything else, like you said, we had Brady for 20 plus years, but we're trying to get away from that now.
Yep.
They're starting over. Like, they are starting over, whether people want to fight it or not, they're starting over from where they were. Because obviously for the last 3-4 years now, besides the 2021 year where they made the wild card, it's been ineffective. It's been hard to watch. 3 of the last 4 years, they've been under 500. That's just not acceptable anymore. Mm-hmm. You need a change. And you know what? Gerard Mayo, who we're going to talk about in a couple minutes here, Gerard Mayo is going to be a breath of fresh air when it comes to that offense. And he's being aggressive. He interviewed Nick Caley. He interviewed Zach Robinson. He was going to interview Dan Pitcher, the quarterback coach from the Bengals, but the Bengals just made him their offensive coordinator, so he's off the table now. They interviewed Shane Waldron, the guy that ended up with the Bears before he ended up with the Bears. Mm-hmm. So the point that I'm making is that at least Gerard Mayo, give him credit, he's being aggressive and going after young head coaches that are rising stars in this league. And that's what you need. You need those coaches. But back to the actual offensive conversation for a second. Yes, bring Zach Robinson in. He has so many good things going on with the Rams. Points per game, offensive yards, etc. So if you bring him in here and you can actually give him some talent to work with. Yeah, Bill O'Brien was supposed to be like the quote-unquote savior last year and he wasn't. But now with some new ideas and some different ways, and you're going to tailor around either the quarterback in the draft or the quarterback in free agency, I think Zach Robinson can do a good job, and I think Nick Caley will do a good job too. But yeah, give me Zach Robinson as your official OC, and then we can really get somewhere. So yeah. I agree. Give me Zach Robinson and get him in here ASAP. He shouldn't have left the building without a contract. But again, I digress. Anything else on the offensive coordinator situation, Powder? Or are you good?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Real quick, defensive coordinator. Looks like D-line coach DeMarcus Covington is quote, a strong favorite to land the DC job. I like it. He's been here. He knows the system. He knows how the defense rolls. I think keeping that one in-house is okay.
Yep. Because Mayo being a defensive guy, like, I think it's fine. You can trust someone in-house.
Yeah, I think so, too. So I think that's going to be a good move if and when that happens. They interviewed other candidates, too. I think, like, the Panthers DB coach, there was another coach that they interviewed, another DB coach around the league. But I think Covington's the guy to run that defense, which, again, I'm fine with.
Yep.
One other Patriots thing I want to talk about. So Gerard Mayo made his first radio appearance on WEEI on the Greg Hill Show, and they were talking about what needed to be done in free agency for the Patriots. And Mayo had an interesting quote that a lot of people, I'm surprised, got pissed about, Powder. And that was that he mentions that the Patriots are going to, quote, burn money, burn some cash in free agency.
How would you get mad at that?
Exactly. Why are you mad about the fact that the head coach, who, by the way, you just had 24 years of absolute silence from Bill Belichick. You never knew what he was thinking. You never knew what he was going to do. Now, when they were winning, it was fine. But when you're losing the way you do, people want answers, and Belichick still wouldn't give it to them. At least Mayo was open. He's honest. He's like, yeah, we need to get better on offense. And yeah, we're going to spend some money. Why are you mad as Patriots fans? This is what you wanted for years. You wanted them to spend money. So let them spend money. That's fine. And again, if that means you have to go overpay a little bit, if that means you have to overpay for a T. Higgins, you have to overpay for a Mike Evans if you could get him, you have to, you know, overpay Kendrick Bourne a little bit to keep him here. Whatever. You have salary cap space. You have plenty of money. Use it. Use it to bring your core guys back and then go add a couple pieces. Like, again, keep Kendrick Bourne here. Keep Mike Nwenu here. Keep Hunter Henry here. Pay them what they're worth. Burn some cash. And then you can worry about the deferred years, deferred money, and everything else later.
Yep.
Get yourself better. So I don't know, Powder. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I just thought it was crazy that people were getting legitimately mad about Gerard Mayo making that comment.
I think it's crazy that people are getting mad. It's a comment you want, like you said, you want to hear from your head coach. Like, and obviously, we love Belichick while the Patriots were winning, and the Patriot way, and we all used to laugh at it because every player that stuck to the system that was here for more than a year was very butt up. You wouldn't get an answer from them because that's the way Belichick was, and that's why he kept his locker room. But we as Patriots fans want to change. We want to see something different. And now we have a coach who's willing to say, hey, I want to get this team better. He's vocal about it, not just like, yeah, we need to get better. Yeah. But it's on, I want to get better. We're going to spend money to get this team better. Last year was unacceptable. We're the Patriots. Let's be better. And that's what we want with this new change of direction as Patriots fans. So I was excited when I saw those comments online and circling the internet. I was thrilled because, you know what, go out and spend money and make this team better. And it's really only the offense. Like, obviously, you can get a couple pieces here and there for the defense, but you want to get that true number one receiver. We have not. When was the last time we had a true number one receiver, Randy Moss? Like, obviously, we had AB for that one game, but.
And you had Edelman, but Edelman was a slot guy. He wasn't a.
He wasn't the true, like, when you think of, like, a T. Higgins or Mike Evans, the guys who are going to be out there.
Right. And, like, a Calvin Johnson all those years in Detroit or something like that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. Obviously, Edelman is a great. He'll get a red jacket. I think he's not going to get a gold jacket, but. He's right on the cusp of that. He deserves everything he got, but he was not that true weapon that you look for. But the Patriots need to go out and get that, and I think Gerard Mayo has the right attitude. I think he's the right man to lead this team, and his comments, I think, were perfect.
I did, too. And you know what? Back to your Belichick comment for a second. I mean, Belichick, again, yeah, he would be like, we need to be better. We need to coach better. Great. How are you going to do that? That's what I think the last couple of years, especially, us Patriots fans want to know. Okay, you're saying the right thing, great, but expand on that. You know, and I'm going to bring my teacher voice out here for a second. Okay, you have the answer, but expand on that. How do you get there? That's the thing. How do you get to that point? How do you get to the point where the offense looks better? How do you get to the point where you're actually putting up more points? How do you actually coach better? What are you doing besides giving us vague statements? Nothing. That's why Gerard Mayo being like, yep, we're going to spend money in free agency. We know we have to spend. We're going to burn some cash. The only thing is if they don't pay up, then we're going to know. I don't think it's necessarily the coach anymore. I think it's more Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, truthfully. So again, they need to make sure that they spend. Gerard Mayo is cashing a check. He better make sure that he cashes it in. That's all I'm saying.
Better not be John Henry.
Whatever.
I can see it being like that. I think Mayo's going to fall through with what he says.
I think so, too. Basically, and I know I screwed up the saying, but I'm going to rectify it now. Don't write a check that you can't cash. And I think that Mayo, if that doesn't happen, he's going to look a little bit bad in this. But again, I also think it's going to fall back on the Kraft family. So we'll see. It's going to be fun for the next couple months. Obviously, the playoffs are still going on. NFL playoffs are still going on. Chiefs and Ravens in the AFC Championship. And then Lions and 49ers, the NFC Championship. Those are going to be two fun games. Real quick, Patrick, what do you got for winners? Just straight up winners.
My brain tells me it's going to be Ravens 49ers. I just think the Ravens defense is too good. I think the Chiefs offense is a little bit better than the Ravens offense, but I think the defense is just too good. I think they're going to stop Patrick Mahomes. And then I just think the 49ers are just too good for Lions. But I honestly want to see the Lions get there. I don't care who they face, but I just think the 49ers are just too good.
I think it's going to be Chiefs and 49ers again. I think the Chiefs are going to find a way to upset the Ravens. I still don't buy the Ravens. Yeah, they want a playoff game. Yeah, they beat a rookie quarterback at home. Great. Can you beat the great Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs team? Can you beat Andy Reid? Can you beat Travis Kelce? Can you prevent Taylor Swift from getting a box seat at the Super Bowl? That's the question now. And nothing against Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift a lot. I like her music a lot. But just the headlines and the constant just like publicity of it, it's like, give it a rest. But
yep.
So we'll see what happens with that.
I would love to see the Lions win, though. That story would be just...
Oh, it would be incredible. The whole country would be rooting for the Lions. No matter who they played, even if it was the Ravens,
yep.
Everyone would be rooting for the Lions. No doubt about it.
Okay.
Everyone likes an underdog.
Yes.
All right. Nothing really else for the Patriots to talk about. We're going to talk about one quick Celtics thing. Then I think our guest is going to join us in a couple minutes. So we might as well just say it now, Powder, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Rob Bradford of WEEI. He writes for the Red Sox and everything, talks about Red Sox, writes Red Sox for WEEI. He also has his podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring, so make sure to check that out. And again, we're going to have him on in a couple of minutes to talk Red Sox, everything Red Sox, and his Hall of Fame ballot and the overall Hall of Fame. But right now, real quick, Powder, while we have a couple of minutes, I want to talk about something with the Celtics.
Yeah.
So the Celtics right now, as I'm pulling up their record, the Celtics are 33, and of course it's not loading when I need it to. Sorry, 34. See, I don't give them enough credit. They're 34-10. They lost a heartbreaker at home on Friday night against the Denver Nuggets, 102-100. Great game, back and forth. Felt like a finals preview. Here's my question to you, Powder. I got two parts to this.
Yep.
So my first question is, could the Celtics have some trouble in the playoffs when it comes to these close games? Because I just think back to, you know, even the last two seasons, like game four of the NBA Finals against the Warriors, they were up late, they blew that and then blew the series. Last year against Miami, blowing game seven in historic fashion, getting creamed. But again, it's like the playoff games coming down the stretch, I don't want to see the old Celtics DNA of just giving up games. I don't think that's going to happen this time. But it's something that I paid attention to because, again, the Denver Nuggets are the reigning NBA champions for a reason. They won it. They know what it takes to win. You still don't know what it takes to win a championship. You've gotten close, but you haven't gotten over the hump. And I don't think, and I know I said this last year, but I'm going to really emphasize it this year, they're much more talented this year than last year. So if they don't win it this year, especially with everything going on, like the Bucks just fired their head coach, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end, and the Heat just made a move for Terry Rozier. But Powder, I'm a little bit worried about this Celtics team down the stretch during the playoff games. Do you have that same fear?
I do, because obviously a lot of their close games, they're not obviously some games they are finding ways to win, but there's some close games that they're finding ways to lose, and it's not a good sign going into the playoffs because you're not going to play the Pistons, who you went to overtime with. You're not going to play those. You're going to play the better team, obviously, the playoff teams, and it's going to be hard because those teams are going to battle you. They don't care if you have the best record in the NBA or not. They're going to battle you all the way until the end, and they're going to find ways to win. So I think the Celtics over the second half, over this last stretch, have to find the way that they can find the ways to close out those tight games. And I think they will. I think they're too talented to let tight games get to them. But
I think so, too. And I think now you have so many more options. You don't just have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at the end of games. Kristaps Porzingis, when he gets hot, can take over games. Derek White has shown that he's probably the best fourth man in the league. Literally being the fourth best option on a team, I think he's the best fourth option on a team in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have, obviously, Drew Holiday that's played in his fair share of big games. Off the bench, you have Al Horford that knows what it takes to win in this league. Not a championship, but he's just an overall winner as far as he won a championship in college, two in college, actually. And he's a pro's pro. He knows how to handle a long playoff run. Peyton Pritchard's been playing well this year. Sam Hauser seems to have found his shot. Luke Kornet's giving you decent minutes. So there's nine guys right there. If they can bring in one more guy or a guy like, O'Shea Brissett can give you some decent playoff minutes, then that's a good thing. And then you open the floor for more possibilities. So that's where I'm at with this team. I really hope I'm wrong.
Yep.
But we'll see. So it looks like our guest is about to jump on a second. But before we do that, we're going to do that now. So we're bringing him on. So again, we are pleasured to be joined by none other than WEEI's own Rob Bradford. Rob, it's a pleasure to have you back on. You look good in that U.S. hat. We love that. How are you doing?
Good. Well, it was between this and Puerto Rico, and I live in Beverly, Massachusetts. So that's that's going to go with the USA hat every time.
You have to. So again, make sure to check out Rob Bradford's stuff on WEEI.com and check out all of his podcasts and stuff. I see the Baseball Isn't Boring in the background. I see the Bradfo Show in the background. And I see his Twitter handle in the background, at Bradfo. So we love that. So before we get into the actual interview with Rob and talk about the Red Sox, we got to talk about how we got Rob back on the podcast. So I was at, and I'm not afraid to say this, I was at a middle school basketball game for the old school I used to work at. And all of a sudden, I see somebody out of the corner of my eye. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, that looks like Rob Bradford. But then I'm like, I'm not going to go up. I'm not going to embarrass myself, make a fool out of myself. So then I overhear him talking to some kids. And then he's like, Rob Bradford. I'm like, there it is. There it is. So then I go up. I'm like, hey, man, good to see you again. When can we get you back on? He's like, Let's make it happen.
You caught me in the middle of illegally trying to give an eighth grader money to come to my team school next year. So.
Yeah. Can we give the school a shout out?
Oh yeah. So I coach at Covenant Christian Academy, a small private school in Peabody. I've been the varsity basketball coach there for the last 5 years. I tell people it's a good distraction from my real job, and my real job is a good distraction from it. Yeah, so it was good seeing you. It's good seeing you. I love going to hoop games. I go to even, public school games or whatever. I just love going to games, and I love watching those middle school games. I love it. It because once again, once the baseball season starts, it's exhausting. Right.
Of course. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you and I talked about this at the at Covenant Christian. So you coach up until, what is it, February break, and then you take off for spring training?
So I have a plane ticket for February 16th, which is the day after our league's championship game.
Okay.
Yeah, so I literally, and that's how it's been for a few years now, that the only, it's great. The timing works out. There's a couple times during the season it gets a little uncomfortable because normally I would go to the winter meetings and maybe I might have some games to coach or whatever. But really, the only other time that there's a conflict is at my school banquet, my athletic banquet. I have to fly back. I have to schedule my spring training broadcasts around. Say, hey, can I have this one day so I can fly back to give these kids their awards? So one year I actually had Garrett Whitlock do a video for the sports banquet. So I figured, I can't be there, so I might as well contribute something. So.
That's awesome. I love that. What's the record this year for Covenant Christian?
We're 7-6, but I think we're in first place in our league. So private school's weird because, you know, you can play all different levels, right? I mean, you, the people, I don't know if people understand how good the top level of private school is.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than a lot of, certainly better than I think a lot of D2 colleges. It's like, you're talking about Brewster Academy.
Well, all you
did go D1. Now, we're at the lowest level, but it's, you still have college players who are playing, you know, on the regular. So, you know, it's pretty good. Like I like you said, I love doing it. I did it when I was young. Like in my 20s, I was a coach at Concord Academy. You get a chance to do it unless you're a teacher usually, but I just reached the point in my professional career where I'm like, okay, you know what? I have bosses, but they don't really know what I do. So
yeah,
I'm going to coach.
No, of course. Listen, you're talking to two coaches here, two baseball coaches, and
there
I
you go.
Basketball too.
All right.
We understand. And listen, I'm a middle school teacher. I get it. The teaching and coaching life, it's a good life. It really is.
Yeah, but you also know the flip side of it, which is, and I'm going to say this, my parents are awesome. My parents are awesome. But there's the coaching, and then there's the everything else.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Exactly. Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, I know. But
yeah, you guys know. I mean, it doesn't matter what level, what sport it is, it's the same thing.
No, absolutely. So, again, we're speaking with Rob Bradford, WEEI. Not even talking baseball. We should just talk high school basketball the whole time. Get the Red Sox. They're not even worth talking about. Let's just talk high school basketball the whole time. Oh, man. All right. But no, we do want to talk about the Red Sox a little bit. Again, we have Rob Bradford here with us, so we definitely want to pick his brain up about some certain things. So, Rob, I'm going to kick us off. I'm going to ask you, it's a pretty straightforward question, but it's also, you know, it can get into some layers as well. How do you feel personally, and you can either do it from the writer perspective or the fan perspective, however you want to kind of go with it. How do you think this offseason has been for the Red Sox so far? And if you feel like it's been a train wreck like we have, what can they still do before spring training to kind of give fans something to look forward to?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a train wreck, and this isn't good for talk radio, good for podcasts, good for stories or whatever, but I still say there's 3 weeks left, and I say that because we don't know how Craig Breslow acts. Like, that's the thing.
Right.
We might get to the point where they sign Jordan Montgomery at a 3-year deal instead of a 6-year deal, and we'll say, oh my goodness, Craig Breslow really played the market correctly, didn't he? Or he might make a trade for a significant guy that we don't know. When I take that aforementioned plane down to Fort Myers, if it seems like it does now, I would say, yeah, it's a bad look. It's a bad look because you went into this offseason saying that you need to improve the pitching and you need to improve the defense. Well, you haven't really done either. I mean, you could say Giolito is an improvement, but who's to say Chris Sale isn't going to be good? Like, it's
right.
I get why you moved on from him, and then you get your second baseman, and I like Vaughn Grissom, but he's an offense first second baseman. So you didn't improve defensively there, but I'll come back to it. I think there's two, like you put it very well. It's a multi-layered thing because it's the what is on the field. And then there's the perception that makes everybody so angry. And I think that's another conversation. And they deserve that. We know that the messaging of this offseason, we already know, definitively screwed up. Not even close.
No, for sure. And let me clarify one quick thing before Powder gets his question. When I meant train wreck, I think it was the Tom Warner just full throttle comment. It's the comment that everybody's been talking about, right? It's that comment where, like you mentioned, Rob, Red Sox fans were excited for this offseason. It's like, okay, maybe they're going to spend some money. Maybe they'll actually like make some moves to improve that starting rotation, improve that defense. And again, you get Lucas Giolito. If he does well, he's probably out the door in 1 year. And if you trade Chris Sale to Atlanta, you know, yeah, then you get the money off the books. That's great. But what if miraculously he's healthy for the season and he proves to be the Chris Sale that we have seen dominate, especially in the first part of his Red Sox tenure here. So I think that's where I was kind of going with it. But I do understand your perspective, too, of like, don't call it a total train wreck yet. There's still 3 weeks left, but based on what we've seen so far, at least from the fan perspective, it looks bleak. It really does look bleak.
And I agree with you. You know, we can only go with what we have now, right? I can say 3 weeks, whatever. But if we're going to sit here and we're going to judge what's going on now, well, to your point, you have the full throttle comment. And I'll say this. It was before the full throttle comment that they dug themselves a hole. They dug themselves a hole when they fire Heimblum. All right, fine. You feel like the slow play ran out of time. You've got sick of the Dodgers parades, fans parade down Lansdowne. You got sick of selling dollar tickets for Yankee series. You got sick of all that. You got to push away apathy. So whoever's getting that job, they're going to do that. So as soon as you do that, it's in people's heads, even without the full throttle comment. And then when it doesn't, then you have the full throttle comment. And then when it doesn't happen, and you don't even come close on guys like Yamamoto, which everybody knew that was going to be the priority. Tom Werner basically said this.
Right.
And so when you don't do that, and to your point, you know, yeah, you make some trades, but okay, they're fine. Or you make a few signings, okay, whatever. But there's nothing to solve the problems that they had already said they have. And on top of it all, then at winter weekend, out of the blue, you have our payroll is going to be less and the Fenway experience comment. Like those two things, I said this on the radio yesterday. I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie Flight with Denzel Washington, but he gets to the end of it and he's lying and he's like, this guy was deceiving. And then he gets in front of a panel and he knows if he tells the truth, he's going to go to jail. And he just starts telling the truth. And he says, it was like I hit my limit on lies. And I'm not saying they're flat out lying, but no. Like they just hit their limit on trying to like make it seem like it was something it wasn't. And because you guys know this, the Fenway experience thing, everybody knows that's their safety net. Everybody knows that's how they're going to get people in. It's the tourist attraction. It's the $9 seat for the college kid throwing beer on their face, all of that. But They never articulated that way. It was never said till then.
No. And that's the worst part about it. I actually remember running into you at winter weekend and you were like, hey, come on, let's have a conversation. Come on, jump on. That was a good time. I wish that could have happened, but it's okay. I understand. It's all good. All right, Powder, go ahead. You've been waiting patiently, my friend.
So kind of going off what Al said about the offseason and kind of comments, the Craig Brizzo comments made probably at this point now, a little over a week ago, kind of about the waiting for the prospects to come up. Do you think that's putting too much pressure on Meyer and all the other guys that are coming up soon, that if they don't live up to it, like if they're not superstars, that they're failures?
Yeah, I think, and when I had Brizzo on the podcast, I asked him that about don't you need the guys, the guys who, let's say, for lack of a better term, the certainty, the guys that you know what you're going to get, the veteran guys, to your point, take the heat off these other guys? Because when you won, that's how it always worked. It always worked that way. Yeah, you had Mookie Betts coming up and Xander Bogaerts coming up and Rafael Devers coming up. I mean, Devers, perfect example. Devers comes up, 20 years old, but you had Bogaerts there, you had Sale there, you had Price there, you had whoever, Pedroia's still there. You know, you had so many other people there. And now you're saying, these are the guys. And I understand, like, you have Trevor Story, you have Devers. But the problem is that there isn't that lock solid, no doubt about it, certain group of certainty with these guys. There just isn't. And I don't listen. If you sign Jordan Montgomery, will he be good? I don't know. But at least you're trying to pay for certainty. And you know when they did do it and it worked? Last year. Like Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, you paid for that certainty after the previous year, where you say, oh, well, if this works out and that works out and this works out, you paid for the certainty of Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin. And if you don't have those two, oh, my, you get like 60 wins last year.
Yeah, I know. And again, it's going back to your point. Their bullpen was horrible in 2022. It was awful. So go in, and guess what? Chris Martin, my opinion, had an all-star caliber year. Kenley Jansen was an all-star. So, I mean, you paid for what you got, and you got good results in the back of the bullpen. Now, imagine if you did that for other parts of your ball club that you needed. Sorry, I had to get in there.
No, you're right on. I think you're right on.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I like to think I have, you know, good thoughts once in a while, and Powder has some good thoughts, too. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you this. So, getting back to the starting pitching for a second, we know that there's been some talks with other teams. I know that there's been rumors about the Marlins with Edward Cabrera and Jesus Luzardo. There's been rumors with the Mariners about Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. There have been names that have been thrown and kind of floated around there. Do you see, in your opinion, do you think that the Red Sox, before spring training starts, or even when spring training starts, do you think that there's a move that they could make for a starter that we just don't see coming? Like, do you have any inklings to who you think that they could maybe pursue?
No, I mean, all the names that have been thrown out there, I think that's what we're talking about. But the problem is, and so to answer your question, yeah, I mean, this falls under the, let's wait 3 weeks. We don't know how Craig Breslow operates. We don't know how creative he's going to get. I do know this. Like, I've known Craig for a while, you know, having covered him and stuff. Obviously, he's really smart, but he's also really competitive. Like, I know that this is, and it's hard to tell through the GM speak sometime, but I know he is. And also, like, his former teammates who I still talk to, you know, they know he is too. So I don't know what limitations put on him, but I know that he wants to do something along those lines. Listen, I mean, it takes this, whether you like it or not, it takes guts to make some of the trades he's already made. It does. And so that's the whole key. I mean, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Now, I do think that when you talk about Meyer and Teal and Anthony, like those guys, I believe it when they say, hey, listen, they don't want to trade those guys. And unfortunately, they can talk about how good this farm system is, but this isn't, yeah, you have more players in the farm system who could potentially be major leaguers, but what you don't have is the higher end guys like Baltimore and some of these other teams where you say that guy is absolutely going to be a star, or the guys who, or like let's say the Nick York level of guy where you could say we're going to trade Nick York for a guy that we know we can put in the rotation one for one. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know. And I think Nick York will be a major leaguer, but that's the problem I think he's facing. He has it's the top heavy guys which they can't trade. And then after that, it's, well, how are you going to put enough of the guys together to beat out the Yankees or another team?
Right, and I think that's part of the problem is we don't know what's the move that it's going to take to get yourself back in contention in, frankly, a loaded AL East.
Yeah.
And that division is loaded with talent. The Rays are the Rays. The Jays can outslug just about anybody. The Yankees are making moves. Obviously, they got Juan Soto earlier in the offseason. And then the Orioles, like we said, they're young and they're up and coming. So I don't know. Maybe Breslow has something up his sleeve that we're just not seeing, which is fine with me. I want to see it. And I want to get excited about something.
Papelbon said to us that he thinks they have something up his sleeve, but in fairness, he may have been drunk when he said it. So
I saw that on X. I saw that that little clip. But anyways, Powder, what do you got?
I'll go in a little bit different direction. I know it's been, I think, a couple of years since we had you on. So first, I want to congratulate you on getting a Hall of Fame ballot. I know.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I know that got announced last night, the Hall of Fame. And I know, let me pull it up, when you went public with Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, I had 9 guys.
Yep. Seeing who got
left. See if I can remember them. Ready?
Yep.
Because I always forget somebody. Beltran, Sheffield, Manny, A-Rod, Wagner, Maurer, Beltre, Helton. I'm missing one. Who am I missing?
Was he missing, Powder?
Jones.
Andrew Jones.
Yep.
Andrew Jones. Yep.
How do you feel about who the three players who did get elected last night.
Well, I voted for him, so I was good. I was really sad Billy Wagner didn't get in.
Yeah, that, 5 votes, right?
Yeah, and listen, I voted for him. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but having talked to him a few times, like even this in the last couple days, mm-hmm. where he was so open and honest about how much this meant to him, how hard it was going to be if he didn't get in, all of that. We forget that because most of these guys play it off. He isn't playing it off. He knew it was going to be close, and to see him that close now, I would expect that he would get in next year, especially if he does it the right way. If you play it the right way, you can get some votes. It's called the Bert Blyleven 11. So I was happy for that. Everybody else, they're not going to get in. I mean, I don't think they'll get in. Beltran, Sheffield, the guys, obviously Manny and A-Rod, not the Thor. And in my thing with the Hall of Fame is that I'm open to all conversations, discussions. If you want to say that you don't want to vote in the steroid guys, like Billy Wagner was saying how he said if someone admits to taking steroids, they shouldn't be in. So I get that. I totally understand that. So I have no problem with the debate. The problem I have is some of these ballots, which are like, there's no justification for something.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions is, obviously not naming names or anything like that. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But from a fan perspective, seeing a lot of these ballots, it feels like the voting system, maybe it's just some of the people have votes, but have ballots, but I just feel like it's broken. There are guys who, like a Billy Wagner, he should be in, and different guys like that each year you think, okay, they should be in, and then they don't get the support. Again, you see some people who openly admit they haven't covered baseball in years or don't watch baseball, and it's like, why do they have votes? I understand that there's rules and parameters. You want to give everybody a vote, but why isn't there newer blood coming into the voting pool so you get some of the new perspective, get votes?
Oh, it's and you know, a lot of people that I really like, but they haven't covered, to your point, haven't covered baseball in 20, 30 years. And they fixed it a little bit a few years ago, but still, the problem is that when you have the people who vote for one person or vote for like two random people, mm-hmm. and you know, there has to be some consistencies to how you vote. Mm-hmm. There just has to be. And you have to be able to explain it. Like, for instance, last year, I would never have thought that I would vote for Scott Rowland. I wouldn't. And because my thing, when I didn't have, you know, I think maybe I told you guys, I don't know if I did, about my tale of woe, why it took so long to get a Hall of Fame vote. It is what it is. But anyway, I've had a Hall of Fame vote for 3 years. And so I just look at it as I can explain why I voted for Scott Rowland. When I did it before, I looked for position players. The first thing I looked at was top 10 MVP votes. And the reason I did that was because it shows a dominance in that era. Because the numbers can be all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But that shows you, when the writer is voting for you in the top 10, that shows you that you were dominant in that year, in that era.
Yeah.
So that's what I always look for. And Scott Rowland is not that guy. So he would not pass that sniff test if I stuck to it. But when I did get the votes, I made a point, like, I'm going to actually do a lot more research than I thought I would do and look at it with an open mind. And Scott Rowland, the thing that jumped out was his WAR. Like, there's nobody in the Hall of Fame with that level of WAR. I think it's 70 WAR. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. And believe me, I got calls and texts from former players who played against him, with him, whatever. Like, oh, what are you talking? He's not a Hall of Famer. Oh, at least I can defend myself.
Yeah.
So right. If people want to say that he's not, that's fine too. But some of these ballots, they're indefensible.
Yeah.
They definitely are. Again, we're speaking with Rob Bradford, WEEI. Before we get into the last couple questions, Powder, we're going to do a quick ad read. And Rob, I want you to pay attention because you might be familiar with this place.
Yeah.
But we're about to go here. So, Powder, take it away.
Yep. As I say every week, Legends Lingo is gracefully sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers.
All right. A&B
Kitchen. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden. And Rob probably knows A&B Burgers right in downtown Beverly.
Downtown Beverly.
Yep. A&B Kitchen Bar is the best spot to meet up before, after, even during a Celtics Bruins game, anything at the Garden that you want. As I say every week, it has the best burgers I've ever had. They have local beers, local sodas. Everything's kind of local. And it's the best food you can get and great service. So if you ever go there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys send you.
Hey, you know what we got to do for A&B Burgers? Is that we got to have a trivia night. We got to get like a bunch of podcasts together.
Yes.
And do a baseball trivia night in A&B Burger.
Yes. This is, I'm not kidding you, Rob. Outer and I have been talking about this for months.
Yeah.
Literally, like, getting like a podcast, like our podcast, get your podcast down there, and just do like a live episode and then throw in some trivia. That would be awesome.
Well, trivia nights are the best. And if you had a baseball themed one, I think it's a good idea. And obviously that would be a great place to do it. So ask the fine folks there. So just do it before February 16th.
Yeah. We could do that. If not, it can be a 2025.
During the season.
That works too. Listen, during the season, when you're home, you know, you're a North Shore guy. We're two former North Shore guys. Yeah. Get together for a little bite at A&B Burger.
I like it.
Good. All right. So speaking of Rob Bradford, WEEI. All right. So my last question. So this involves the potential ballot for the 2025 Hall of Fame. So I'm just going to read off some names. And Powder and Rob, I just want you guys, just quick gut instinct, yes or no for these guys getting into the Hall of Fame next year. If you obviously had your vote. Rob, we know you have a vote, so we know.
Yeah, so before, I'm happy to do this.
Okay.
But I am not legally binded to voting for these people if I say I think they're in.
Oh, of course. This is all opinion. You have to put the disclaimer out there. Disclaimer, not legally binded.
I have not done the extensive research, which I'll do. And by the way, one of the things for me personally, what has made it so fun besides the honor of voting is doing these Hall of Fame ballot reveals. So the first year was batting stance guy. Then the next year was D.B. Sweeney reenacting his role in Eight Men Out, Shoeless Joe Jackson, which was awesome. And then this year, the people at Immaculate Grid were very, very nice to do their Immaculate Grid for my ballot. But the problem was I lucked out because those people were great. The Immaculate Grid people were great. And Ashley Kelly, Joe Kelly's wife, she did a little video. So that was very good. But I got to start thinking ahead. Like, I got to get, like, someone on the space station. I got to get, like, Obama. I got to get somebody, like, I have to start. I procrastinate. So, anyway, I'm ready. You got me thinking for next year. Let's go.
Let's do it. Hey, listen, just have Gordo do it. I'm sure Gordo would love to do it for you.
I'm sure he would love to do it.
All right. First guy, and we've talked about a couple of these guys. So, Billy Wagner.
Oh, me?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whoever.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Yes, easy. Okay, agreed. Andre Jones.
Yes.
Yes, I think he should be in.
Carlos Beltran.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed. Alex Rodriguez.
Yes, because I've been voting for him. Painful that is for me to say. It's painful as it is. Yes, I vote for him.
No, fair. Manny.
Yes.
Yes. Powder.
Yep, definitely.
Okay. Chase Utley.
I think he should be. I think he doesn't get the love he deserves.
Okay.
I'm saying no now, but I'm going to take another look, and I would have to be really swayed because I don't like, because, you know, you maxed out at 10. So I didn't max out at 10. I maxed out at 9. So I had the opportunity to vote for Chase Utley, and I didn't. So if I voted for him next year, it meant that I didn't do enough work this year.
Right.
So I'm gonna say no right now, but you know.
See, I'm on your side, Rob. I'm no as well. Utley doesn't do it for me. Just no. Omar Vizquel.
No.
See, I would go the opposite way. I go, yes, the fielding. I don't know what it is. The Gold Gloves does something for me, man. I don't know.
He was unbelievable. He was a Hall of Fame level defensive player.
He was. I can agree with that. Let's see. Bobby Abreu.
No.
No, I don't think he gets it.
I agree. Jimmy Rollins.
No.
No, but again, you know, people make cases for him. So.
Oh, of course. No, yeah, I'm with you guys. No. Andy Pettit.
No, but I know that a lot of people think that he should be. Like, Billy Wagner is one. He was talking that he should be.
I think you'll see a massive increase in his votes for next year, but I don't think he gets in yet. I still think he's a couple of years away. Mark Burley.
You know, he's an interesting one.
He is.
I did not vote for him. But when I looked at his stuff, it shocked me how close he really is. I mean, really, you look at the longevity of him, and he didn't have a bad year all the way up until the end.
Right.
This last year, the ERA was like under 4. So, yeah, he probably deserves more credit than he gets, but I'm still going to say no.
Okay. I'm also going to say for now, no. Bowder, you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Francisco Rodriguez.
No.
No.
Okay, I'll go no as well. I was thinking at first, maybe, but nah, no. Torrey Hunter.
No.
No.
David Wright.
No, but I think he'll get a jump too.
I think he will. No, I agree. I think he'll get a little bit of a boost. Ichiro. Suzuki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First ballot guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Last five. CC Sabathia.
Yep.
I gotta look. I hate to cop out, but it's fine.
No,
yeah, I gotta look.
All good. So yes, undecided, and then I'll go yes. I'll go yes on CC. I don't know. He had some good numbers with Cleveland, had some decent numbers with the Yankees, had that great half season with the Brewers. So I'll give him a vote in. Dustin Pedroia, I'm saying yes because he's a Red Sox, so yes.
I think if he had three more Dustin Pedroia seasons, I think he'd be a no-brainer. I think he's going to be a tough one. I think he's going to be a late, like, 8, 9, 10-year guy that might get a huge jump late in the second half of his candidacy.
This is the ultimate test. This is the old. There's no player I like covering more. There's no player I like talking to more. There's no player I admire more. I would say to every kid coming up, if we talk about basketball, baseball, whatever, that's the guy's mentality you want. And if you look at his career for the first half of it, because I did the exercise at one point. He lined up exactly with Jeter, like almost exactly with Jeter. But the injuries for the second half, they just caught up to him. I mean, it just caught up to him. So I can't say that I would. And it pains me because, you know, I would be like to say, here, Dustin, come on the podcast. I'm voting for you for the Hall of Fame. But,
right.
You know, it was just a shame, you know, that.
It was.
I mean, it really was. Machado thing, that's because you have to understand, like, this guy would have played for 4 or 5 more years, probably at a fairly high level, and he would be in the Hall of Fame if not for that one slide. But you know what, it would happen. What happened happened.
It did. No, it definitely did, and it sucked. But it is what it is. All right, last three: Ian Kinsler.
No.
No.
No, and I don't forgive him for 2018 Game 4. Should have been a sweep. Felix Hernandez.
I have to look.
He's awful.
Yeah, I have to look. He was really, really good for a while.
He was. Cy Young Award winner, everything. I'm a maybe for him. I'm not going to go either way. That's my one maybe that I'm going to use. Finally, last one, Troy Tulowitzki.
No. injuries killed his career.
I don't know. You know, not the injuries, but then, you know, like, you have to – Helton, I vote for Helton, but, you know, it's – you really have to have, like, overachieve because of the Colorado stigma.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, so – yeah, I'm just looking up. I'm looking up Felix Hernandez because this is the one that's really interesting to me. Like, so I go by
so good,
my MVP sort of top 10, if I did that for pitchers,
yeah,
you're looking at it, holy mackerel. You have a second in Cy Young, a first in Cy Young, a fourth in Cy Young, an eighth in Cy Young, a second in Cy Young, a seventh in Cy Young. So, you know, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
That is.
I don't know. We'll have to. I'll loop back on that one.
All right. Let us know when you.
Yes, I will.
We have an answer for that one. Shoot us a text. Let us know. All right, Powder. You got any final questions? I have one final one after this.
I do not. You can go to your final question.
All right. My final question for you, Rob Bradford. Who is your favorite player in the ITL Baseball League of Massachusetts?
Besides myself?
Yes.
Oh wait, did you say this season or forever?
All the time. All the time.
Oh. It's not even a question. This is, I'm going to date. So you have to understand, like, can I get at this, add some context to this? So I grew up in Essex, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was growing up playing Little League, the Essex Shipbuilders might as well have been the Red Sox. Like the ITL, Intertown League, oldest summer league in America, whatever. It was an adult summer league, semi-pro, whatever you want to call it. But we looked up to those guys like they were the Red Sox. So there was a guy named Kendall Stone, who every time that Kendall Stone got up, the Little League field was just beyond the left field fence. We literally had to stop the games because Kendall was up, and there was a good chance he was going to hit one, that there was going to nail some Little Leaguer. But thank you for asking me that question.
Of course.
And yeah, it's, and the interesting thing I say about growing up in Essex is that when I was growing up, everybody's summer job was clam digging. So if you, if the tide was out, we couldn't field nine guys. So that was always a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Rob, you're talking to two retired ITL Topsfield Tories here.
Oh, the Topsfield Tories.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rob Race.
Yeah, we had some, we've heard the name. We got some names.
Well, do you know that Red Sox executive Ben Crockett. So, you know him? So, Red Sox.
I heard the name.
He used to be the farm director. He is from Todfield, and he played in the ITL for Todfield the summer before he went to the Alaskan League, Alaskan Summer League.
No, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah. Well, good for Todfield Tories. All right.
So one little twist in the question, then I promise we'll get you out of here because you've been working all day. You're a hardworking man, and we appreciate it. Who's been your favorite player in the last, like, 10 years? I know you've been to a couple games. I know you've been to a couple.
ITL or baseball?
ITL.
Oh. Yeah, I have been to a couple. Last 10 years. Who's the kid, kid from Manchester? Oh, my, who pitches?
Lefty,
Rusty. I think he's gonna say it, Powder. No, Adam. Powder, don't say it.
What is it?
Oh.
What was it?
Rusty Tucker.
He's not pitching.
Yeah,
he pitched for San Diego, right?
Yes. Yeah. He used to. So, Rob, do you want a little background?
Yeah, of course.
So you know the name of our podcast is Legends Lingo Podcast.
Yeah.
Rusty was at one point, and I think he still is. Powder, correct me.
He still is. Yep.
Yeah, so he's still the owner of Legends Baseball. So when we were both working at Legends as coaches, we named our podcast Legends, then Lingo.
Nice. Excellent. Nice. So I like that. And all that Legends money comes to the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever they get, we get a share of it. No, we don't get that.
Good. Listen, this has been fun. Like, I could do a whole podcast in ITL.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, the happiest thing, and then we'll wrap it up. Getting a hit off Rusty Tucker, that was the best thing ever because I can hold that over him for the rest of his life.
The funny thing was is that when I became a sports editor of the Gloucester Times, mm-hmm. I went back to play in the ITL because I just knew that I had to cover the games anyway.
Of course.
So I may or may not have made sure my stats were in there in every write-up. Yeah.
We love it.
It's all good.
And on that note, we'll wrap it up here. Again, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere else we can get your podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, now X, at Lingo Legends. Rob, shout out your work. Shout out your podcasts.
Yeah, baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. The social accounts. And every single day, like when I get off this, I'm taping one with Joe Kelly because he comes on about once a month. And I have no idea what we'll talk about. You got any, what good questions you have for Joe Kelly? Give me some good questions.
Oh, all right.
How did it feel losing his number?
Oh, we've talked about this. Believe me. Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was. He was a whole thing. He was going to hold out for it. Then his wife got a Porsche.
All right. Let's see. How does he feel knowing that to this day he's Tyler Austin's daddy?
Oh well, listen. I don't know if you want to plug something.
Let's plug it. Although, look at that. A damn near perfect game. Make sure to buy the book, Joe Kelly, with Rob Bradford.
Yeah, so that was...
America's Pastime. Make sure to buy it if you can.
Yeah, that was the story, real quick, is the untold story of the Tyler Austin fight in that was a couple of weeks later, they're in New York, and Joe was driving through Times Square with his agents, and they see Tyler Austin cross the street, and Joe tried to get out of the car to fight him. No longer.
Oh, that is absolutely incredible. Yeah. On that note, I think that's where we need to end this podcast. Rob Bradford, WEEI. Rob, thank you for your time. This was long overdue having you back.
Yeah, it's good seeing you guys. And you gotta just do it again. You know what you need. And again, like if you want to do a full ITL podcast, I'm all in. Let's go.
Listen, we could go on for that.
But more importantly, we're doing the trivia night.
I'll be in contact with the owners of A&B.
All right, perfect.
We'll get it done. So for Rob Bradford, for Tom Powder Cabinets, I'm your host, Alan Egan. Thank you for watching episode 257. Thank you for listening to episode 257. And we'll see you next week for episode 258.
Yes, sir.